Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Romance of the Two Networks. The podcast, long divided, has united. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
I'm Jennifer Uncle from Scanline Media.
I'm Jackson Tyler from Abnormal Mapping.
I'm M, and you know that means that we're just going to have to divide again, right?
You know, only after a long time, but I guess we've established a long time as 3 weeks.
Yeah, we'll get a little bit of this, right? I mean, it's my turn to disappear for a while, right? I'm the only one. No, Jackson, you haven't either, have you?
No, I've been here the whole time.
Okay, well, we both got to leave. But here we are, back in the Three Kingdoms, and it just feels weird. Everybody's dead.
That's not true. There are so many people who are still... I mean, technically everyone is dead because this was written a long time ago, but...
Hate you.
Most people are alive.
I feel like it's so different without, you know, without all my buds.
Do you mean Lubu?
I might just mean Lubu.
Because it's not like anyone misses Yuan Shu.
I kind of miss the fact that he could be consistently relied on to show up, call someone a peasant, and then get the shit kicked out of him.
I miss Dong Zhou, so, you know, fair enough.
Yeah, Dong Zhou was something special. But we're down to like the big three, it feels like, right?
The 800 characters left in this book.
Well, listen, that some of them serve under... actually, what's Sunsei up to? I haven't heard from him in a while. But we got Cao Cao, we got Xuanda, and we got Yuan Shao. And these days, those seem like the major players.
At least in the north.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The south is just chilling. Quietly... Yeah. God, that's right. There's going to be a fucking comeuppance, isn't there? Like, everyone's going to be like, oh shit, the south at some point.
Who can say? I've read the book, so I can't.
Yeah, you don't get to say who can I say anymore. Say you say. Have lost that privilege.
Jackson can say, but they say. Won't.
I won't.
that's the new version. Is like, what's going to happen? Jackson can say anyway. So we're starting off this week with chapter 22. Cao Cao takes the field against Yuan Shao. Lord Guan and Zhang Fei capture two generals.
This chapter begins with Chen Dangtong and Xuanda being like, you know, I know you killed his brother, but you should go chill with Yuan Shao. We'll get someone to recommend you, and it'll work out. Because he says, someone you've always held in great esteem, we can get him to write for you. Have you forgotten? And then Xuanda's like, not Zhang Zhuang. Zhang Zhuang, I think. This one's hard.
Really hard for me too,
because the ZH and the X are very similar. If you're an idiot from the UK,
I know how this is historical text, but this really so like this is not how this is, but this really reads like, you know, like halfway through the season, being like, of course we'll call upon your brother, and it's like, wait, what brother? What are you talking about?
Because the next paragraph is, by the way, if you don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, I love how he is famous for going to basically learning underneath a scholar who was infamous for having a bunch of women dancing behind a screen, and he was somehow the only person who just stared at his books the entire time. And the scholar gets teary-eyed after he leaves, being like, oh, he's the only one who noticed anything from my lessons. As if it was out of his hands to have a bunch of people dancing behind the screen.
But then he also went and taught every woman who worked in his household all of the teaching, so they're all, like, literary experts also. It's very good.
To be like the guy who's like, oh, I set up this elaborate scenario where as all the people take lessons, there are a bunch of dancing girls just so that I could see who would not look at them. Like, what a prick.
He really has made the horny trap.
So yeah, this very honorable scholar who has never been horny. as like, listen, hey, Yuan Shao, I know he killed your brother, but this guy's all right. And Yuan Shao is like, I mean, I know this guy killed my brother, but he says he's all right.
I have this entire second page I just have at the bottom. Yuan Shao agrees.
He does.
It's like, okay, so even Yuan Shao is like probably only defending his brother because it's like, well, I guess we're related, but like nobody fucking liked Yuan Shu.
Yeah, and everyone in this book seems to agree with whichever most recent advisor has talked to them.
I mean, Yuan Shao is specifically this. Like, Cao Cao last chapter was all, that guy never decides anything. He's not a problem. He's not a problem. That's why it all comes down to me and you. And he was like, oh, there was the thunder. I was scared because of the thunder, dude. had a good chapter last week.
Yuan Shao gets Chen Lin to write. He's like a literary genius. They just get him to write a big, like, whole blog post about all of Cao Cao's crimes, which take up multiple pages. I didn't write down any notes because we've covered all this. If you've been listening to the podcast, you don't need any of this.
Yeah, I was reading it again, like, now for the fourth time reading it. Third time, I guess, reading this bit. And it just goes.
Yeah, the important bit and the bit that anyone reading this notice in the actual story would notice is, oh, if you end up bringing us his head, you'll get $50 million and be the master of many households.
Quest, I know all this.
Will someone please assassinate Cao Cao already?
Yeah, he's like, listen, anybody who wants to betray Cao Cao, you're good.
So this whole thing comes to Cao Cao as he's lying in bed with a migraine, just having a bad day, and yeah. It just makes it worse. And he's like, what are we going to do about this? And everyone's like, don't worry about it. It's just a big post. It's fine. No one will care. You just need to let it go, blow over. No one will care. No one follows up on callouts.
That's literally what happens. He's in bed, and then he's like, and then his migraine disappeared. He jumped up and he said, "Who wrote this?" And I was like, "Well, that was obviously Chen Lin." And he's like, "Ah, well, he's just posting. He can't do shit. What's he gonna do to me?"
Chen Lin posting through the wars. And so there's an argument of like, okay, so what are we gonna do about Yuan Shao? And we get the, like, one of the, you know, Kong Rong being like, I mean, he's so powerful, we've gotta get peace, and everyone else being like, he's the biggest moron in the world.
Yep.
And so they're like, okay, I guess, like, and Jun Wen Ro basically breaks down, like, okay, this general's, like, rigid and useless, this general's greedy, this one's arbitrary, this one's ineffective, these ones are gonna fight each other nonstop. The rest of them are all morons. We don't need to worry about it. And Cao Cao's like, ha, this is great. Okay, perfect. And so he leads an army, and he sends off Liu Dai and Wang Zhong to go engage Xuanda while he deals with Yuan Shao. And his one of his advisors is like, what do we do if they fail? And Cao Cao's like, oh, they're gonna fail. That's the point.
The main thing here is he puts his own, like, colors and standards on them and sends them out as if he himself is going into battle, because he's gonna trick them all. But unfortunately, he's up against Xuanda, who cannot be tricked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not super effective.
So Xuanda's like, well, this seems like a trap. So I'm gonna get Lord Guan to go out and do this, take care of it. Zhang Fei's like, why? I could go do it. And he's like, no, you'd fuck it up. And he's like, no, I promise I'd be good. He's like, nah, Lord Guan's gonna do it. You can go next time.
And this opportunity is created by the fact that once they arrive, Liu Dai is like, well, as your commander, I command you to attack. And Wang Zhong's like, oh, but commander, I couldn't probably, you should probably be the one to attack. It's like, okay, let's draw straws.
So yeah, Lord Guan goes and captures one of them, right?
Yeah. He basically is like, oh, you better not mess with me because Cao Cao's right behind him. And Lord Guan's like, if Cao Cao's really here, can you just bring him out so we can talk? And basically, Wong's just like, fuck you.
Did not plan that far ahead. Shit.
So they bring him back, but he won't talk because he might be incompetent, but he's good at keeping his mouth shut. And so Zhang Fei's like, well, you said next time I could go out, so I'm going to go and bring back Liu Dai. And Zhuanda's like, okay, but don't kill him. You promise you will not kill him. And they just badger him until he's like, fine, fine, I'll do it your way. I'll go out and capture him. And he does. He successfully does a thing.
He does it. He does it. He, like, fakes being drunk and lets a guy yes. go. And they're like, oh, he couldn't have faked that. He loves to be drunk and beat people up all the time.
Yeah, the thing is, he faked being drunk. He did not fake beating the shit out of his own guy.
Yeah, and he didn't even tell the guy what was going on, so... it doesn't really say what happened to that person after all this happened, but I imagine Zhang Fei just killed him afterwards. Being like, oh yeah, this was a trap, but also you were disloyal to me, so yeah.
Yeah, it's a very Zhang Fei... this is Zhang Fei's version of cunning, which is treat my own troops like shit so I can create an opportunity.
Yeah. When he does come back, he's like, ah, now see what you've done. All your badgering was for naught. And Zhuanda's like, look, I did this so you would figure it out. I wanted you to shape up. You did a great job. And they have a good laugh together.
He roars with delight. So I just imagine yes. him like as a dog in that thing, as he's like, ah!
It's like when Lu Bu hears that Cao Cao like was like, oh no, we can't give any help to Lu Bu. We gotta keep him hungry. And Lu Bu's like, oh, Cao Cao, he knows me so well.
And so Zhuanda's like, look, you guys are here to fight me. Cao Cao hates me, but I've always just been doing the right thing. I want you to go and appeal to Cao Cao, tell him that I'm just trying to do the right thing. We don't have to fight. We can just talk this out. And he sends them on their way, healthy, back to Cao Cao. And Zhang Fei almost fucks it up by trying to murder them because he thinks that they're leaving without being allowed to go. He thinks like they're escaping.
A paragraph after Zhuanda being like, you've done it. You've shaped up. You're learning. You're learning. He just tries to murder people who he, like, Zhuanda has deliberately let go immediately.
Yep.
Guan Yu has to show up and they're like, oh, thank fuck for that.
And then, so they return to the capital. Well,
the thing here also is that, like, they get, after the two escape, the Lord Guan's like, so do you think this is gonna work? And Zhuanda's like, absolutely not. But I'm gonna try it anyway.
So he gets back and Sasa's like, what the fuck are you doing back here? I'm gonna kill you.
And then you know it's not gonna happen because it's the end of the chapter. And they're like, oh, will they be spared? It's like, yes, they'll be spared.
Yes. because his advisors immediately point out, you can't send people to do out your order, have them fulfill the order exactly as you intended and then kill them for it. At least if the rest of the world can tell what's happening. Because you can kill that one guy about the grain.
But now we're getting into one of the most wild chapters we've read so far. Chapter 23. Mi Heng strips denouncing the traitor. Ji Ping is executed for threatening Cao's life.
You'd be forgiven for thinking that strips is some kind of metaphor.
So Kong Rong is like, okay, you need like a man, a learned man to be part of your court because clearly you're just running off hat-cocked. I've got a great guy. His name's Mi Hen. He's a little eccentric, but he's good. He'll be solid. And then we are introduced to Mi Hen.
Yeah, he's... during his welcoming dinner, he's not commanded to take a seat, and he takes such offense to it but that he starts being like, oh, I'm not around any men here. I'm going to insult each and every person that is in this room.
The thing that's interesting about this is he runs down everybody in their room in the exact same way that Cao Cao and Zhuanda did like three chapters ago.
Yes.
And is just like spot on their own appraisals of the men. Unfortunately, he did this in public and they did not.
Yeah. So Cao Cao's like, you know, it'd be really funny if we just made you a ceremonial drummer. So we're going to do that and have you play a show tomorrow. And that goes about as well as you'd expect it to.
Well, he's a, okay. So first off, I do want to object. In his list of analysis, he calls Zhao Hao Dun the unscathed general. My dude, he ate his own eye out.
You know what? That just makes him cooler. That counts as unscathed to me.
But he's saying why they're not. Oh no! But he's saying why they're not heroes. That's the reason he is a hero. Mm-hmm. Zhao Hao Dun rules.
He still might not be a good general. Eating your eye. Like, Liu Bei is full of heroic actions. Terrible general.
That's true. Okay, fair enough. But yeah, so he goes out to serve as drum master. He's wearing just his normal, like, shabby clothes, and he just starts, like, whipping out, like, the sickest drums anybody's ever seen, and everybody starts crying at how fucking dope it is. But Sao's attendants are like, why didn't you change? What's wrong with you? And Mihen's like, oh, sorry, and just pulls his clothes off.
And then he's like, oh, that's not what y'all wanted? Okay. And just puts them back on without skipping a beat.
And Sao's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You just stripped in the middle of the imperial court. And Mihen is like, I mean, I'm just trying to match your standard, my lord. You're a piece of shit.
So he's like, okay, we're gonna send you out to do the thing I hired you to do in the first place, to take care of Liu Biao, get him on our side. We're going to have, if you mess this up, we're going to kill you. But we're going to have one more meal with you as a send-off. And, of course, that one meal ends up being a mistake because the first thing he does in that meal, because no one's going to greet him properly at the meal, is like, I'm sitting in a room full of dead men. Y'all are just fucking done.
Dude, it's just wilding out here. I don't think anyone in this book has ever been on one as much as Mihang is. This guy is out of control. and he sends him off to Liu Bao, and he's like, okay, here's the plan. Either he'll convert him. No, he won't. Or Liu Bao will kill him. Great. And then, so he shows up, and Mihang is received, and he sings his host praises, but it is a tone so ironic that Liu Biao took offense and sends him off to someone else. And he's like, listen, obviously he's an insufferable prick, but Cao Cao was like, I can't possibly kill such a scholar, so what would it make me if I did?
Yeah, I think he literally uses the words, two can play at this game.
And as he leaves, Yuan Chao's envoy arrives, and they're talking things over. And so basically he's like, okay, this sounds all right, but let me go to the capital and figure out how things are going there before I make my call, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sends an advisor named Han Song who warns him beforehand. Okay, so if Cao Cao gives me a position, I'm just going to take it. And I just want you to know that right now. And Liu Biao's just like, okay, yeah, fine, whatever. So of course, Han Song goes over, gets a position from Cao Cao. And when he comes back, Liu Biao's just about ready to kill him on the spot.
And Han Song's like, this is literally what I said would happen. And he's like, okay, I guess that's fair. Meanwhile, we get the revelation that on his third stop, finally someone had enough of Mihang's shit and just fucking cut his head off because he was having drinks with Huang Shu, and he's like, oh, you're fucking a lifeless idol. You, like, the only great men I've ever met are Kong Rong because he said I was cool.
You can't, they're just like, you can't keep doing epic Sorkin monologues. You're in the wrong book. You quite possibly are in the most wrong book for that. It's not going to play. And then, I think actually, King Idiot of the Hour is Liu Biao here, who's like, oh no, I can't believe I sent him to his death. Mind you, a page ago you were like, haha, two can play this game, I'll send him on to someone else, but didn't complete that sentence to go, who will obviously kill him.
Like,
my guy.
this is always how this was gonna go. Like, I appreciate that Mihang has the perspective to be like, all these people suck, but he's also kind of like the person with the worst judgment in this entire book. He's just walking into the house of the powerful and being like, eat my ass, and they're like, no, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, he has no sense of self-preservation at all.
I love to speak truth to power by going to their houses only and telling them they suck in private before being killed.
Just what a the smartest dumbass. Like, wow. All right. Also, we never really got, like, apparently he was good at the drums, but, like, we never actually got any evidence that he was this wise scholar he claimed to be.
I mean, he nailed everyone to the wall the second that he spoke. He's like, you suck, you're shit, you're a waste of space, you suck, and, why, I don't even know who you are, is basically what he does.
Yeah, but he just did, like, a presidential roast dinner. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not that impressed.
Sure. Meanwhile,
I do think, honestly, we are meant to, like, see that as insight from the book's perspective. Like, there are characters who can seize people up and a new type is someone who can look at a situation and understand it intuitively.
Meanwhile, Kong Rong's just off in the corner, tucking his collar nervously, like, oh, the guy I recommended is a total asshole. I hope I don't die over this.
And it feels like, it seems like it's such a mess that everyone forgets he was ever involved.
Yeah, it's like, I imagine Cao Cao at one point being like, okay, who invited this asshole again? And Kong Rong just slips out the door.
So anyway, meanwhile, Dong Cheng and the rest of the like the council to free the emperor are very, like, secretly doing nothing.
Excuse me, Dong Cheng is having recurring dreams where he's definitely doing something. Just doesn't turn into anything.
He's having dreams where suddenly the entire kingdom is on his side, and he walks in and Cao Cao's like, oh no!
Yeah. He's fucking having dreams like the beginning of Rushmore. and everyone cheers.
And he's so stressed out by his inability to do this that the person he's trying to kill is like, oh wait, no, it's the emperor. Sorry, never mind. The emperor is like, I think he needs a doctor.
That's the guy who asked him to do it, to be fair.
Right. No, that's why I corrected myself. If it was Cao Cao, that would be way funnier.
And somehow his dreams are so loud that the person attending to him, Ji Ping, immediately senses that's what his intentions are. Like, oh, so you're totally planning on killing Cao Cao, huh?
He's like, no, what? No, I mean, you better not tell anyone.
You were lying there in your sleep, thrashing and saying, Cao Cao, you traitor, I'm going to kill you. And Ji Ping is like, listen, I'm just a physician, but I've never forgotten how much I owe the Han. Listen, I figured something was wrong, but I hesitated to question, but now that you've told me the actual situation, I'll do whatever it takes. And he bites off the tip of his finger as a pledge to that he will do everything in his power.
Yes.
So he's like, I'll poison him, it'll be fine, it'll be easy, I'm a doctor, doctors can do this. And so he walks out of the room, and Dong Cheng's like, well, that's sorted now, and immediately goes and berates one of his servants, who is right outside his conspiratorial room, because he's, like, hanging out with a concubine, chatting her up, and that guy is like, well, shit, if he's gonna defy Cao Cao and treat me like garbage, I'm just gonna go to Cao Cao. Cao Cao's got all the power and money, and he does that.
He doesn't kill his servant. Like, either fucking, if you're gonna do this, then do this, or just let it go.
Yeah, he sees him chatting with a concubine and then has him beaten and thrown into a cell, and he's like, well, I'm gonna escape and go talk to Cao Cao then, which, yeah, doesn't, Dong Cheng not great at managing his people. Yes, anything.
Yeah,
no, and he's good at one thing, and that thing is revealing his very secret plans to others by falling asleep next to them.
That's true.
Wait, no, he's also good at saying, haha, it was a test, which he really should have leveraged in an upcoming scene.
So The servant goes to Cao Cao and is like, oh, the doctor was with him and they were talking about shit. So, you know, maybe you should look into that. And so Cao Cao's like, oh, well, I'm going to pretend to be sick again and I'll summon the physician. And he does. And then the physician's prepping the poison. And he's like, you know, a good physician would test the medicine first to make sure it's good. And he's like, well, shit. It's only for the sick. If I took it, it would make me ill. So I can't take it. But you have to trust that it's good. I'm a doctor.
He's also, when he's preparing it, he's like, don't worry, just one dose and you'll be fine.
Yes, he does.
Like, you idiot.
So yeah, as soon as he's realizing the plan is going south, he tries to grab Cao Cao's head and pour it directly into his ear, but him being a physician and Cao Cao being Cao Cao, that doesn't really go his way.
And yeah, so he's like, well, fine, you found me out, just kill me. And Cao Cao has a much worse, more horrific plan for him. And the rest of this is like pretty grisly, so fair warning in advance. But he is beaten until the book says his skin split open and the stairs before Cao Cao were covered with blood. And then
can I say no thank you?
And then they just wait until the next day where they have a huge court banquet, and only Dong Cheng doesn't come, which, you know, my dude, you need to understand that this looks very suspicious when you don't show up to court banquets. But everyone's there, and after everyone is deep in their wine, he drags out Li Ping or Ji Ping and shows him what's happened. It's like, this man is part of the rebellion that's tried to kill me. And that's probably a terrible thing to have at the end of your dinner. And then they beat him up and he faints. They wake him up. They beat him again, whatever. And try to get him to name the conspirators or whatever. And most of them are in the room during this while this is happening. Like Wang Zifu and some others are just hanging out like, oh, shit, we picked the wrong day to come.
I think it'd be real, real funny. If just one of these guys had nothing to do with it.
It is really good. Like, there are multiple times where he's like, I'm not telling you shit. And they're like, who told you to do this? He's like, fine, I'll confess. Heaven, fuck off.
Yeah,
this is all the same chapter as the Mi Deng stuff. Like, it's popping off.
So he tells everyone to leave except the four conspirators that he's already sussed out, which I bet is a great time for those four people as everyone else is told to go home.
I think it's just like they are like stricken with fear, but they can't just bounce.
Yeah. And then he's like, you know, I didn't mean to keep you, but while we're here having, you know, third dessert, could you tell me about Dong Cheng?
Yeah, and he brings out the servant who came to him and was like, here's what's going on. And he's like, okay, well, what's that white silk roll? Like, how come you all put your names down together? And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Obviously, this guy's just a liar who sucks.
Why would he write our names down on a big silk roll if we were planning something super illegal? Seems stupid if you ask me.
So they're all thrown in jail, and Cao Cao decides to go to Dong Cheng's house, and he brings Ji Ping with him. And he's like, hey, how you feeling? I mean you missed the party. It was great. It was a good time. He's like, oh, you know, I was very sick, couldn't come. Well, that's all right, I brought the party with me.
Yeah, he specifically is, this book has a great thing where people come up with these ridiculous symptoms or diagnoses for health things when they're finding out the traitor. For this one is like, oh, are you down with a touch of concern for the Han?
Are you perhaps sick with loyalty to the Empire?
Hang on.
Yeah, it's like a callback to several chapters ago where they're like, are you sick with Jade Seal?
Yeah.
So they bring in Ji Ping and he's like, he named four people, but not the leader. So I'm here to find out who the leader is. Maybe you could tell me. And that's when Ji Ping says, Heaven's the one who told me. And here it says, Cao ordered him beaten, but his body had no skin left to flay, which is, that's a lot, Cao.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Dong Cheng's here, very sure that he's been found out. And Cao Cao's like, you were born with 10 fingers, why is one missing? He's like, I chewed it off to mark an oath to kill a traitor. And then he cuts off all of his other fingers. And he's like, make a bigger oath now. And then he says he still has a mouth to devour a traitor, a tongue to curse him. And Cao Cao orders his tongue come out, and then Ji Ping stays his hand. He's like, I'm resigned to giving evidence. And then, so they stop, and then he stands up, and then he faces the palace gate. And then he bashes his head against the rocks until he dies.
Yeah, I would too in that situation.
Yes.
Yeah, it's. I imagine this part did not make it in any of the TV adaptations.
The book underselling of the century. It was still the first month of the fifth year of Gian An.
Boy, was it.
Anyway, he confronts Dong Cheng, and he's like, do you recognize him? And with the informer, and he's like, oh, that guy, he should be put to death. And he's like, well, he told me about the conspiracy, so maybe he should not be put to death. And he's like, well, why do you listen to him? And he's like, well, everyone else was already taken. They've confessed. Do you deny it? And then they discover the decree, and Cao Cao laughs and captures everyone and orders everyone seized in the household. Bad time.
Yes.
And then they're like, we're going to go get rid of the emperor because the emperor is trying to overthrow me and I'm in charge of everything.
This takes us to chapter 24. The traitor Cao murders the consort Dong, the imperial emperor. What? My mouth just did a weird thing there. The imperial uncle Liu flees to Yuan Shao.
Yeah, so obviously, since it happened at a chapter break, he's talked out of deposing Emperor Xian, being like, you know, if you do that right at this moment, you'll probably start a civil war, because there's all these other factions trying to get control of the empire right now, and we really don't need the people against us.
This is the one time where I disagree. He's already in a civil war. That's what this is.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. But
probably should have just gotten it over with.
He decides instead to just satisfy himself by putting the emperor on like constant watch and then killing everyone related to Dong Cheng. And that means going to the imperial palace to let him know, and also to deal with his beloved consort, who is the younger sister of Dong Cheng, who is 5 months pregnant with the emperor's child.
Bad times. Really looking bad for her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She gets strangled outside the palace gates with a white cord after the emperor refuses to explain the blood oath.
What happens, Cao Cao comes in and he's like, are you aware that Dong Cheng wasn't conspiring to rebel? And he's like, oh, Dong Zhou, that was like years ago. What are you talking about? He's like, no, not Dong Zhou, Dong Cheng. Which is a very bad playing dumb. but yeah, it does strangle Lady Dong, which is a problem for everyone. He's like, please spare her. And he's like, I'm not going to let you have a kid. That's just going to seal your power up for another generation. Absolutely not. So then Cao Cao decides.
It's really good that we established last week that he was no longer 9.
Yes. That's true. You're correct. But then he decides that he's not going to go after Liu Bei right now. He's like, okay, we have two problems. We have Ma Tang and we have Liu Bei. Let's go after Liu Bei first, because he's a much bigger thorn in my side. Deal with him, and then we can deal with Ma Tang, and it'll be nothing. Which is the opposite of the way you should tackle problems. You should get rid of the easy ones first, because then they'll just join up with the big problem.
What?
I don't know why you'd say that.
Yeah, so Xuan De ends up petitioning Yuan Shao for help, but Yuan Shao's youngest son, who he apparently loves more than all his other children, is afflicted with scabies, and because Yuan Shao is very bad at focusing on more than one thing, he's like, okay, I can't really do anything right now. You'll have to figure something out, because I'm too sad to do this.
He's like, my lord, the traitor who has captured the emperor and is ruling over China has go to attack his greatest rival, and if we aid him, we could save the land. Yeah, but my kid's sick. Like, okay. All right. I guess that's fair.
I mean, his kid's really sick.
His kid is really sick. I guess that's fair. But he could just send troops. He doesn't need to go with them.
I would recommend, if you're like me and like, what's scabies again? Don't look it up.
It's gross. Scabies is gross.
Because I just did that and was scabies. Didn't remember what scabies was.
Yeah, Googling any sort of thing like that is always a bad idea. Like, at some point recently, I Googled whatever the fear of small holes was, and Google Images was like, nope, this is bad.
I Urban Dictionary'd daddy.
Oh, well, at least you're afflicted with images when you do that.
That's true. It was, I was just
hang on, what did you specifically need elucidated?
It turned out nothing.
Okay.
It turned out nothing. Someone had used it in a way where I was like, I feel like, I thought I knew this. And I was like, no, they just used it a little weird. I knew. Okay.
Incredible.
So without Yuan Shou to back him up, Zhuangzi's like, well, what are we going to do? And Zhang Fei's like, don't worry about it. We will just, as they rush up to attack us, we'll attack them first harder. It'll be fine. They won't be seeing it. They won't be expecting it. They'll be tired. It'll be great. Unfortunately, they were expecting it. It will not be great.
However, we do have the moment of Zhuangzi being like, wait, you want to attack them right before they attack us? Oh, you've grown up so much. You finally understand strategy.
Yeah. Cao Cao has the fortuitous moment where, as they're marching to Xia Pei, a gigantic wind breaks one of his banners, and using that, he deduces, oh, they're planning a night raid. Okay, we got this.
Ill omen.
Zhang Fei attacks, and he's caught in a huge ambush, and everything goes bad. In a single page, Zhuangzi loses literally every one of his troops. Zhang Fei escapes, but in the opposite direction, and Zhuangzi is left to flee north where, Yuan Shao is like, because Yuan Shao is like, I can't help you, but if it goes bad, just come north and I'll protect you. And so he's coming north to be protected.
I love this because it's hard to say because I don't know shit about the actual history, really. But I feel pretty confident to look at this as being like a very ridiculous bit of elaboration on the author's behalf in terms of like, oh, the only reason that Liu Bei's attack didn't work was just the omen that Cao Cao was received from heaven, and it was just fate. Fate controlled this, and otherwise a very good plan. Like, you mean the obvious plan that Cao Cao would have seen through in seconds? He's not a good general.
Yeah.
No.
So Zhuangzi is brought in and protected and is fine, is being taken care of or whatever. Because Yuan Shao is like not great at material support, but he seems stand up when pushed to it. Which just leaves, Lord Guan, who is here in town, looking after, Zhuangzi's household as Cao Cao rides in and is like, well, what are we gonna do about Lord Guan? And like, well, why don't we talk to him? Maybe we could persuade him and get him on our side. We won't have to kill him. He's a great guy. We wouldn't want to lose someone so heroic. Almost as if he's a main character and shouldn't be killed so quickly.
And they're like, is there anyone, like, could we possibly talk him into serving? And they're like, well, he's really loyal. It probably won't work, but like... we should try because, damn, if we get Lord Guan, we're set.
Well, yeah, Zhang Liao steps in and is like, we're friends. It'll be fine. I'll talk to him and we'll see. Because, you know, we don't want to, like, have a huge fight if we can avoid it. So they're going to try it at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And without getting into much, I'm familiar with this next part from reading the abridged version. We are in for some very entertaining antics from Lord Guan.
I have no idea, so I'm very excited.
We're going to get Lord Guan unleashed. It's going to be like that Star Wars game where the Force is real powerful, but it's Lord Guan. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry.
I would watch Lord Guan cut down a Star Destroyer. That seems pretty cool, honestly.
Everyone's favorite Star Wars reference, Starkiller.
The non-canon Starkiller.
Yes.
written by Luo Guanchong, the Star Destroyer charged, the Star Destroyer fell.
literally the second we finish our required content today, pivot to talking about Star Wars. Oh god.
So I managed to, I'm holding in my hands here two kits that I'm looking forward to get started on. I got that Daochan Kshatriya SD, and I also got myself Zhang Fei God Gundam.
Okay, cool.
Feelings on Zhang Fei continue to be complicated. Not sure about the I'll win by beating the shit out of one of my own men plan.
I want to get that Daochan Kubli. I need to get that.
Kubli fan.
Yeah. She's got like fans. It's cool. The thing is, we're going to get there in 10 years. It doesn't matter, whatever. But I'm much more excited for that first one where they're like a bunch of different mobile suits that are the Three Kingdoms as opposed to the one airing now where they're all Gundams, basically.
Oh, I thought you. Mm-hmm. I thought the first one was all Gundams.
I mean, Diao-chan goes from being a Kublai to a Kshatriya. I feel like that implies a certain amount of, like,
that's
we
true.
Made everything much more serious, because the Kublai just has, like, cartoon eyes and is ridiculous. Like,
and the new one's, like, Three Kingdoms but zombies, which is, like, okay.
I mean, I do think artistically I hear what you're saying, but the Kshatriya is basically just, like, a newer Kublai as far as where it's positioned in mobile suitness.
I'm just saying it's a Kublai. We haven't gotten to the Kshatriya yet.
Oh, no. Okay.
It kind of looks like a Quin Mantha, but it has four big shoulders instead of two big shoulders.
I have seen that one. That's been posted because it's very cool.
Yes, it is very cool. Yeah. It is one of the most popular mobile suits that I see people bring up all the time. So
yeah. Do we have anything else other than Star Wars and Gundam?
Wow, okay, just call me out like that, fine.
We're all implicated here. That wasn't a superior thing. I'm down in there with you all.
No, I think that's what I've got.
Would you like a picture of Lu Bu and one of his premium costumes from the Warriors of Orochi games?
Hell yeah.
Sure. I would like to point out in the other SD, like one of these, Zhang Fei's a Zeta, which is much better.
That's pretty good.
I like a Zeta. Okay, let's look at this. Let's look at this picture. Enough Gundam. Excuse me.
Yes.
This is a Cosmic Kiryu outfit.
I was exactly going to say that.
They gave Lu Bu a fucking Cosmic Kiryu outfit, but like 80s Cosmic Kiryu.
Lu Bu is so far from a Cosmic Kiryu. It is actually not funny.
I'm pretty sure Lord Guan is the Cosmic Kiryu.
Well, just like three heads taller than everyone else.
Yeah.
Oh god, Yakuza 3 is a good game. He's so tall. But yes, you had to see this. Like, look at this.
If you're gonna do that, you need to make him. You need to make Lu Bu your Majima.
I think because the Warriors of Orochi games are the ones where it's both Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors, they take the chance to have like the Dynasty Warriors characters dress up in ridiculous Japanese clothes, which I think is what's happening here.
Sure? That's pretty modern clothes.
I mean, they're not like of the era. They're just like, we've got now that they can cross over, we can have some ridiculous cultural theming going on.
Okay, fair enough.
No, Dynasty Warriors doesn't care about historical accuracy.
What? Yes, they do. I played the level where it turned out that what's the old, it's been so long. The dude who Cao Cao originally wanted to kill because of what happened to his dad. Remember that guy?
Yes, Tao Qian.
Yeah. I did the Dynasty Warriors level where Tao Qian City was defended by a bunch of jade dragon statues that shot boulders.
That was in the book.
It's the like, we have to do the unabridged. This is like this says it's unabridged, but it's like semi abridged. They omitted, you know, the jade barfing statues.
I want to point out that Mi Heng in Dynasty Warrior or Romance of Three Kingdoms 11 is the only thing he seems to appear in, and in that it is noted he's a special NPC while randomly searching in Jiangling. The player may encounter Mi Heng and be challenged to debate him.
I am extremely disappointed. I of course understand, but I'm extremely disappointed there's no Mi Heng SD Gundam.
Yeah, I looked. I definitely looked immediately. So. I guess that's it. That's it for today.
I guess so. I need to go watch G Gundam.
Yeah, I have to go watch three episodes of a Gundam I don't particularly love, so that's going to be great.
And then one episode of another show that we don't particularly love.
Yeah. I can do two of those tomorrow morning.
That's true. And I'm balancing all that off a game I don't particularly like, so...
as soon as I'm done writing about Gundam, I can go watch Kamen Rider, which I do like, so, you know, I'm winning here.
Wait, which one are you on these days?
I am watching Gaim, and I'm watching Ichigo, the first one, still.
Wait, Gaim is the one I think it is, right?
That's the Gen Urobuchi one, yes.
How's that going?
It's amazing.
Huh. Okay.
When we stop this recording, I'll tell you the premise, and it's really good.
I'm only watching Writer, so.
Okay.
Or not Writer, Build, excuse me. Yeah, okay. I'm only watching Build.
Okay. Well, let's close this out.
Okay.
I'll go first. You can find me and Jackson at immoralmapping.com. Check us out there. Jackson's at headfallsoff. I am at EM_being. Look forward to our G Gundam content going forward. Obviously, we have feelings about that. I hope they change this week when we watch 3 episodes instead of 2. Because if it's still bad, this is going to be a rough 3 episodes.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. It can't be worse than last time.
Yeah.
Famous last words.
All right, I am SixDetmar. You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar. You can find Scanline Media stuff, scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia.
And yeah. I'm all those places too, except I'm also at JBU3 on Twitter.
Cool.
All right.
Well, that's it.
Well, yeah, until next time, folks.
Amuro.
No, he's not. He's not in this one. He's not in this one.
What if Amuro was reading Three Kingdoms though, and applied some of the lessons? Maybe he would. You know what? He'd probably turn out the exact same. Actually,
he would turn out He would turn out like he would just be like, I just don't understand why Schwanda thinks that fighting is the answer.
Lupe and Amuro are basically the same character for a, so you know.
All right, we're done here.
Read on.
Read on.